Okay, and so to all things canine, and a January Happy New Year to Wendy Claxton. Morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I trust that the festive break was kind to you.
Yes, it sort of hung around a bit, but
didn't
gone,
it just
gone now? No, didn't have any dramas.
No, but it was the usual mild thing, which of course is the opposite of what we've got right now, which is some very, very cold weather. And of course, as much as we say, probably a puppy's not a good idea as a Christmas present, there are plenty of people who've got new puppies over the festive season. And of course, with things turning cold, it means looking after your puppy is a bit, it's a bit more tricky.
Well, it is, because that little thermostat isn't sorted out yet. So, you know, you need to know the signs of when they're cold and when they're hot and all that sort of thing. We mentioned last time about coming in from the garden. That's not so difficult now when it's so cold out there. They're quite happy to come in, thank you very much. So that's all right.
Yeah.
Yes, these little guys, you just need to know when your dog is cold. We tend to say at class, touch their foot and then hold their leg and see how cold the leg is and the foot is. You can touch on the ears. Some dogs run hotter than others. So let's say a little Vizsla puppy would burn a lot of heat off because they feel hot to the touch.
Yeah.
And so when they feel hot to the touch, they're more likely to feel the cold, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
So we had a lovely little puppy come to class the other week, and it was shivering away. So obviously we just said to the owner, and they said they've got all the kit for it, but you just change the environment slightly. It can be nerves, and then they get cold quickly. But at the moment, in this little cold snap that we've got, just make sure that your puppies keep warm. Don't get overly cold. Take them out in this weather, even if they're not necessarily all vaccinated up. You can carry them out. But then again, you know, even if you're carrying them, bits of them can get chilly. So just keep them warm, I would say.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, some of these dogs are hardier than we actually think. And not all of them, of course, are being let out into a back garden. They're actually going for walks and that, which leads to another hidden thing, which is the salt that goes down on the roads and on the pavements to stop people slipping over and out. We're all right because we've got our shoes on or our boots on or whatever, and it doesn't really affect. You just clean them off when you get in. Dog's feet are what we need to do again, isn't it? Clean them off.
Yes, because again, the salt is quite caustic, and then they leak their feet, and you don't want to be licking all that salt in, because it's not just salt, it has other chemicals and such in it. So do please, if you're taking your dog on a road walk, you make sure that you rinse the feet off afterwards, because you just don't know what it is. If you're going out sort of across country, again, when you get these cold bits, just sort of you can just rinse the feet off just to get any of the mud off, because mud's not very good to be, because some of the mud, you know, some of these places are so overwalked
that
the mud gets a bit toxic as well. So it all sounds a bit dire, but just be sensible. And also, again, remember that when it's sort of frosty and frozen underfoot, it's tricky for their little feet underfoot, but also it's slippery, and those little joints can get ripped and jarred very easily in the icy weather. So I would say be careful. You know, obviously have your little guys off lead if they're ready to come off lead. The sooner the better, I would say, and walk with some other well-behaved dogs.
Yeah.
But also be very careful of charging around in this weather. It's fun. I mean, golly, it's absolutely great. So long as it's not raining and you can get a clear sky and some frosty weather, dogs absolutely love it. We've got a friend's dogs and it just does roly-polies. If it's frosty, it just rolls. It's a sausage dog, so it does sausage rolls all over the place. And they absolutely love it. So you've just really got to make sure that try and keep some of the running a bit more contained so you don't look around and your dog's limping. But these are all natural things. But having said that, they're natural to us, aren't they, Tony?
Yeah.
But a lot of people out there have never had a dog before, and it's all, you know, new stuff for them to get to know. So just be careful of those.
The other thing, of course,
with the salt.
I guess say the other thing, if you are taking your dog out, is to watch out for what looks to be like frozen ponds or frozen lakes. They may look frozen over, but they will certainly have some weak spots somewhere. And if a dog goes running onto this ice, apart from the comic effect that it's going to look like a dog slipping around all over the place, there are going to be weak points in that ice where they can slip through, and that is, well, that's more than a disaster, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't bear thinking about.
No,
it's quite horrific. So again, if you know there's ponds or rivers, mainly ponds, obviously, where you walk, you put your dog on the lead before then, because if it goes through the ice and under the ice, you're not going to be able to get it very easily. You could come under a very sticky situation as well. It could be two lives lost in that. So
yeah,
I would say just be careful, because it can happen in an instant. The dog doesn't necessarily know it's there.
Mm.
It's running around, it's having fun, maybe with other dogs. Again, be careful if you're playing ball with your dogs. That can happen. The ball can go further than you wanted it to and end up on a pond or something. So just please be very, very careful.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I've seen, of course, we've had 2 years of COVID and we've come out of that now. A lot of people got an interest in getting dogs. There were people who got dogs during COVID that gave them back, realised they couldn't deal with them. But there are plenty of people who got themselves a puppy or a dog for the first time. And there are plenty of people still out there now looking for puppies. And, of course, the thoroughbreds and all those sorts of dogs really, really are very, very expensive to buy when there are lots and lots of animals in rescue centres around the place. But I'm told that the availability of rescue dogs is getting harder and tighter. Is that correct?
Well, it seems to be. You're sort of listening from, you get to hear all sorts of angles, but there are lots of dogs out there. Lots of dogs are being, it's sort of a late wave of dogs going back into rescue. Ostensibly, they're going back in where there's problems of things like resource guarding. And that's an unnecessary thing to allow your dog to ever get. I mean, it's very much the same as separation anxiety. These are unnecessary issues, and we create them. We create most of these problems that the poor dogs have, so they end up in rescue. And there's some really good-willing, good-meaning people out there that are quite knowledgeable and are happy to take on these little guys that are in rescue. But it seems to be, for this is what we hear, it's just so difficult. But hearing the other side of the coin out there, when you've own a rescue centre or you're involved with it, there can be 700 applicants for one dog. There could be thousands of applicants for some types of dogs, and so you wonder why you don't get a look in, you don't get feedback. And that is the reason why. And what they're trying to do is obviously match the dog to your family status. What we find a lot of is that what people say, what people think they are, etc., etc., is not always as it is, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what would be a really good and interesting thing to be would be, so a lot of people that have perhaps never had a dog before would be to go to some dog training classes before they ever get their dog and have a talk to people and hear the sort of the rough side of owning the dog, maybe do some handling of other dogs. Because it's always, lovely, the idea of getting a dog. But also your circumstances change. Quite often people think, right, okay, we're not going to have children. So you say to the rescue centre, no, we're not having children, we're blah, blah. And 6 months down the line, suddenly there's a child on the way. So, circumstances change. And, you might have a dog that really has got a few issues. And if a child comes along, it's not going to go well. So that poor little mite then gets rehomed again. Now, obviously, this could happen whether you rehome a dog or whether you get a puppy. And it does happen a lot in cases. But I think, and also the other thing with lots of the rescue dogs that people are saying, oh, they're struggling with their rescue dogs. But if you look at the bigger picture, a lot of them have come from big, big areas, big kennels, big pounds, where they've not just been one. They've been one of up to 300-400 dogs.
Mm.
So really, they've got all their chums there, and we hoik them over from abroad back into this country, or even if they're in a rescue centre over here. We hoik them out, put them in our centrally heated house, and then just sort of dote on them and feel sorry for them because they're rescue. And it can turn the characters of dogs. We've got some dogs at class that people are struggling with, and they said, "Oh, the rescue centre never said they did this or that," and they probably never did in the rescue centre.
Yeah.
But suddenly everything's different. And my personal opinion is that a lot of these dogs are lonely. And when you get a lonely dog, it feels a little bit sort of out of control. Mm. It needs somebody to look to. It needs its one, so to speak. And they can't cope. And then they throw some other anxious sort of signs in, like maybe a bit of snapping, or maybe they start trying to guard you, so you become their one. They're just not happy as just a single being. Some of the street dogs are right.
Wouldn't it be right that, if you're getting a dog from a rescue centre, I mean, it's very rare to get a seriously well-trained, well-behaved dog directly from a rescue centre. They are there normally for a reason. And the vast majority, I mean, certainly in my experience of some of these rescue centres, I mean, as good a job as they do, they are picking up dogs from breeders and other places where the dogs are coming to them aren't used to human contact and have invariably had a pretty shabby life to that point and aren't used to human contact at all. So it does take a lot of patience and a lot of love and a lot of experience to actually deal with some of these dogs. And I think somehow, sometimes, some people really don't ask the right questions. Maybe that's the thing, to ask the right questions about the dog and the dog's history.
Absolutely. And unless you've been involved in rescue, you don't realise how you just think, oh, you're just doing, you're just doing a lovely thing to help an animal, but not necessarily. It could be that it's worse off with you. It could be a biter. If it becomes a biter, then what do you do? Mm. Do you then think, well, do you know, I'll have to call time on this dog because I can't spend the rest of, however long the dog's got to live. It might have another 10 years with it. On tenderhooks, worrying about, is this dog going to bite? Mm. I mean, there's lots of things. Obviously, there's behaviourists and training and so on. But let's say it is naturally, whatever's gone funny with the dog, it is going to be a biter. So these are the things. And yes, people don't always ask the right questions. The rescues are generally good and they'll ask you the right questions. But it's very difficult. I mean, it's so difficult to match people with dogs. And again, a lot of the rescue centres are getting whole litters come in whereby the puppy farms have overbred, thinking that the boom in dogs was going to carry on, and it hasn't. Mm. And the site where we look at for dogs, where all our four have come from, every day I look and there's more and more. And again, whole beautiful, beautiful litters of puppies.
I know what you're talking about. And yeah. I think that particular area of, it's actually west of where we are, has certain issues with, I think control of breeders. I think there seems to be a terrible, terrible thing. Because as you well know, one of my dogs came from the same place. Mm. And, He's from a breeder from that part of the world and was no use to the breeder, so they literally put him on the scrap heap pretty much and just gave him to the rescue centre. Yeah. And say when we first took him on, as you probably well know, he was just feral, hanging on the end of a lead. Yeah. It does take a lot of patience and that, and you do need to ask the questions, because we went actually looking, strangely enough, for a boxer dog. Mm-hmm. And what we ended up with was a miniaturised boxer who was a bit of an experiment from a puppy farm. And this is what you get with rescue centres. They mean very, very well. And, of course, they're doing their utmost to actually look after the dogs that they've got. But it's not really a place for the faint-hearted sometimes, I think.
No, it's not. And I think it starts and stops with us as human beings. We just need to think, well, hang on a minute. We've got our gorgeous little puppy that we perhaps bought back in the back end of the summer. We've got this far with it. We might have done some training. And then lo and behold, it comes into season. And you think, oh, well, it'd be rather fun to have puppies ourselves. And you think that that's the dangerous thing,
yeah.
I personally believe, because the more people that think that, or because they bought a bought a dog from a breeder, it's cost them in lockdown, it's cost them maybe $4,000, even more. They're now thinking, because now is the time a lot of dogs are coming to either their first or second season, they're thinking, oh, do you know what, I might breed from my dog and
ooh,
not
get good
that
idea.
Money, but I know, and more. And it is, we're on this awful cycle of then the next lot of people thinking that they can breed, and it's not that easy. I mean, that's not that difficult, but the difficult bit is then finding good homes for them. And are you going to be somebody that does that? But also be prepared to get them all back dumped on your doorstep because the people can't cope with the puppy.
Yeah, the breeding part is not the difficult bit, is it? It's the bit that follows all of that, with looking after them as completely newborns and making sure their welfare is correct and all the rest of the bits and pieces, and then vetting the people who are getting these puppies.
Yeah. But again, you know, again, it's difficult because people tell you what they think you want to hear. And I think really, if legislation could change a bit in more in that direction, as in it is a legal requirement to have your dog spayed and castrated unless you apply to be a proper breeder, and that's what you are, and that has legislation itself, that there is really, there's no need for these rescue centres to be so full, but it's greed. It all really comes down.
Well, sadly,
greed,
I think that sort of thing is not exactly going to be high on the government's priority list at the moment. Other things going on. The only one thing I would say really is to change it slightly. That we mentioned you have your puppy, you have your new dog, and we were talking, I think, last time about recall, getting your dog back in from the garden. And
yes.
Yeah, there are different ways of doing this, and of course in the cold weather, as you've mentioned already, it's not quite so difficult, but on a sunny day, if you've got a dog like our Nuka, she just likes to go out, and if she's in the garden, she'll just settle down on the patio and go to sleep, and not always ready to come in when you want her to.
And that's lovely for them. But as you say, when you perhaps want to go out or whatever, and you want to get the dogs in, and they also hear in your voice that there's that sort of sense of urgency, come in, and they think, oh, no, not yet, I don't think so. So again, it is all part of discipline. People say to us, we had this conversation this last week at class, people saying, how do I get my dog in from the garden? Well, to start with, just teach it that you're going out the house and then you're coming back in, so it knows those two words, and do a lot of... Then one of the girls, funny enough, said her dog hadn't been well for a while and she'd had this problem not getting the dog in from the garden. But the dog had had to remain on the lead for 10 days under veterinary care. And those 10 days were an absolute boon, because now it does come in from the garden. It's breaking the cycle.
It is.
You know, there are lots and lots of things you can do, but start as you mean to go on with your puppy. And when you say in, that's what you mean. You mean in.
Yeah.
And if necessary, go out behind the dog and sort of usher them in.
always
tinkers,
a way.
They will. They
There's,
will
there is always a way. Wendy, we've run out of time, I'm afraid, as always we do. Where the time goes, I have no idea. Lots and lots of things still to talk about new puppies and some of the difficulties that you can face when dealing with a dog that you've not had for very long. But if I may, we'll catch up with those in a month's time. But for now, I'll say thank you for talking to us this morning, Wendy, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, Tony.